It's On Second Thought. I'm Tony Harrison for Celeste Headlee. This week, for the first time, Clark Atlanta University welcomes its incoming freshman class, literally like never before, with hacking. A six-hour technical marathon is open to as many as 1,000 students. They'll collaborate to create and code technical innovations that could change the world. It is the largest hackathon at a historically black college and university. Jerrica Richardson and Daniel Santos are co-founders of the Atlanta-based group Hackout Ninja. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
So, clear up hacking for me. There's coding, there's hacking. Are the two worlds aligned, similar, distinct, and different? Jerrica, start with you. What does it mean, hacking and coding? And clear up my confusion if everyone in the audience is clear on it.
So what is a hackathon and what is it not?
There you go.
It is not a malicious event where everyone figures out how to break everything. But what they do try to do is come up with new ways of making something happen. They hack things together. So it can mean coding. It can be technical, but they're not always technical.
See, I see these things, these TED Talks about hacking this and hacking that and hack your life
and
hack your emotions and right? And hack your TV. What does all of that mean?
Finding a better way.
Finding a better way to do something.
Yeah. Yep. Solve a problem.
So are you working with, how are you coordinating with Clark Atlanta on this event, Daniel?
So Clark actually invited us in. We've done hackathons with them previously. They typically do them in the fall semester with their graduate or fellows. And those are just students who've been to Silicon Valley, kind of seeing how the process works, and they're trying to bring that flavor back to Atlanta. But to expedite this process, they actually wanted to do it with their incoming freshmen. So get the brains while they're 18 right out of high school. Yeah. Mold them to actually have this innovative mindset, to realize that, hey, you can change what's in front of you by what you have in your own toolkit.
How did you form the company, Hackout Ninja?
Oh, that's a long story.
No, we don't have time for it.
So how we started
What is it that you wanted to address?
We wanted to address collaboration in areas where people usually don't talk.
Yeah.
So we came from the corporate world, still in the corporate world, and they're known as functional silos. So in a side of business, sales and marketing, they won't talk, even though they should. So we see that aspect just trickling down in all parts of society. Mm-hmm. But when it happens inside of a school or an institution, the students are the ones who fail.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to find a way to bridge that gap, to actually have the students change the world they see in front of them, as well as get them to work with the faculty, to work with the staff, so they're all on one accord.
So you're working with Clark Atlanta. You're working, and Clark Atlanta is an HBCU.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerrica, what do you see as being some of the barriers to minority students in this space?
That's a loaded question.
That's a big sigh, too. Is it a big answer?
It's a complex answer. But really what it gets down to is removing the mental hurdles associated with coding, right? We're both self-taught coders. Like you said, we're in corporate world right now. He's at Worthix, I'm at Explory. And the thing is, though, is Hackout is our baby. It's our product that we put together. And the journey to it included not knowing how to code and not knowing how to
When we started this.
Our first hackathon was, what, 2.5 years ago or 3 years ago?
We got invited to Hack ATL.
Awesome experience. And we spoke with the organizer afterwards.
Yeah, you were motivated by that event.
Oh, yeah. We spoke with the organizer, and he went on about how difficult it was to manage all of the moving pieces with a hackathon. And it's like, well, I thought it was just an event where everyone collaborates. It is. But for an organizer, it's more like a conference. So Hackout was born from that single interaction, but we didn't know how to make it come to existence.
Yeah.
And we taught ourselves how to code over a course of 2 years.
So the same question. Wow. And that experience, I want to hear about that. But Daniel, the same question to you. What are some of the barriers? Because we don't have, that I can think of, and maybe since you're in the space, you know better. Role models, say African-American role models in this space, Hispanic role models in this space that young people can young people of color can aspire to. So what are the barriers?
I think the barriers are a common knowledge base. So it's not that we don't have the role models.
No.
So put it this way, the first, I could be wrong, I don't want to say billionaire, but the gentleman who invented the Nerf gun or the Super Soaker,
yes,
brother.
Yes, yes.
He's from Atlanta.
Yes.
He's here.
That's right.
Nobody knows that. I didn't know that till a few years ago, but I had Super Soakers as a kid.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I could have had role models. Or there are role models out there. We just don't have the same platform. We don't put them on the same pedestals of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of breaking that out. Work that you're doing kind of shining light on this. So now that there are ways to see inside the shadow.
So I feel like I dropped the ball with my kids a little bit. What I've read is that one of the barriers is getting young kids excited about computer science when they're in high school. Is that something, a hurdle that needs to be, you want to jump in, Jericho?
Yeah, I want to
jump
in.
Yeah, you're pointing at me, so go ahead.
That's what I was getting at. So
yes.
The full circle of it is what we, that journey about coding, it was really overcoming our own mental hurdle. It was meeting role models, and it was realizing that coding itself can be a paintbrush. When you have an idea, you can actually make it happen. And like at this point, if we had to throw an app together, we could probably do it in a couple of weeks. And it's just, it's incredible because normally we do meet a lot of entrepreneurs, especially of color, that are trying, there's that gap. There's, I have this awesome idea.
Right.
And I don't know how to make it happen. I don't know how to take the next step. And so that, but that first barrier is sometimes you just have to take that next step.
Yeah, but you two are in your 20s. And at this point, you sort of figure some things out. You've lived a little bit and you've learned and you figure some things out. I'm thinking about high schoolers. Do they need to know, because I hear it all the time, that the jobs of the future are in this space, that the jobs in computer science are all over the place in Georgia. You don't have to leave the state. They're here. And the idea of these young people, are you in favor, for example, of making computer science a requirement for high school students, some level of computer science, entry level, even?
Well, I mean, if you just look at the, and this is a generalized statement, but if you look at the age base that we're speaking about, high school and younger, all those students have a smartphone, have a tablet, and a laptop that they're bringing to school, more cases than not. And if they don't, that's what they're playing on. They have one at the house. That's kind of the family thing to play on. So it's the same thing. We use the wave. We use the technology. But if we don't understand what we're actually playing with, that wave's going to pass us, and we just become consumers.
Right.
So,
I mentioned just a moment ago, but if you would, Jerrica, describe the landscape in Atlanta, in Georgia, in terms of the jobs coming online, the pay connected to many of those jobs, right, and what is required to get that work.
Mm-hmm.
Some real practical advice from two people in the space.
The tech industry is unique in that not a lot of people yet understand it. They need it, but they don't understand it. So when it comes to, you know, the actual landscape, it's growing rapidly because there's definitely a drive towards automation, towards performance enhancement, and I'm gonna use a term, taking the human out of the loop, right?
Taking the human out of the loop?
Yes. The loop is basically a way of describing a process, how something gets done from point A to point B. As it stands, a lot of our services, a lot of our products require a human in the loop.
Yeah.
When you take the human out of the loop, you decrease costs, you increase performance, you increase even the time to completion. And all of those things are positives for a spreadsheet for a company. So tech as a concept isn't going away.
Sounds like a loss of jobs too.
Yes. Yes, it's a
definitely
it's
a shift of jobs.
A shift, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, and if we're not careful, then
Daniel, that speaks to the point. So, to you, same question. Describe what's happening in this space right now, and what's available to young people who develop these skills, and what kind of, people want numbers. What kind of money is attached to this space?
Put it this way: if you can get a basic front-end design, and that's three languages, CSS, HTML, JavaScript for the most part. That's not actual hard coding where you have to make X, Y, Z, do A, B, C. It's really just design. It's all the stuff you see on a functional web page, right? Mm-hmm. Entry level, coming out of college, you can get paid $75,000.
Oh, come on.
I swear.
Serious.
To you.
Come on.
Serious.
And some of these, General Assembly is one that's come to Atlanta recently in the past 2 or 3 years. These are just schools that basically teach these coding programs. It's an 8-week to 12-week sprint. You can come out and you can make $75,000 programming.
If you're looking at full stacks and back end, you're looking at 120
plus. Wait. You're speaking another language.
I know.
What is that? If you're looking at what stacks
full
and who
stack,
ends
so,
and what?
So here's a quick lesson. Stack represents all of the different layers of your technical application. So your database, how your front end looks, how the interface is, and how everything in between operates. A full stack does all layers of your stack. Okay.
And I know there are all kinds of people in the audience who totally get that. I just don't happen to be one of those people.
If you can do it all, you're looking at 200 plus.
Wow. Jerrica Richardson and Daniel Santos are with us. They form the Atlanta-based group Hackout Ninja. If you're going to participate at the Clark Atlanta Hackathon, what do you need to bring? What do you need to know in order to participate?
Great question. So the first thing you have to bring outside of tangibles, of course, you need a laptop, something to work on. But outside of that is just an open mind, because you may have an idea, but it's really an exposure to real-world scenarios, because you'll form a team with 5 or 6 other people who you've never met before. So now it becomes people-to-people dynamics. You have an idea, but these other 5 people have an idea that's just as valuable. So now you have to find a way to mesh that, work as a team, and create something. The kick to it is that you do have a time limit that's on your shoulder. So the sand's dropping.
So that pressure.
Yeah, so there's a little bit of pressure. You have to properly project manage your time, execute, delegate. It's really a real life or a professional situation that most of these students are going to be just thrown into for their first time.
So I want to participate, and I've got an idea, but if I'm collaborating, who owns that idea? I mean, I'm sure this is something that's come up in other hackathons.
This hackathon, the students own those ideas. Mm. There are other hackathons where you basically sign your contract saying whatever you come up with goes to the company, but you win prizes. So I'm just going to share a little bit on the hackathon industry.
Sure, sure.
There are people that make a living off of winning hackathons. 6 to 7 figures. No kidding.
Highest prize ever was $1 million.
Yes.
So they bring ideas.
Mm-hmm.
They hack them out with others.
Mm-hmm.
And then you
compete.
You compete, and you can win cash prizes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So are there actual in-use ideas that have come from
have
hackathons?
Have you ever pressed the like button on Facebook?
That came out of a hackathon?
That came out of a hackathon.
Okay, so when is the Clark Atlanta Hackathon? Let's get everyone the information they need to participate.
So this Thursday at Clark Atlanta University from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m.
And you have space for how many freshman students? Is it about 1,000?
Yep.
Yeah. So they're anticipating anywhere between 900 and 1,000 in this first class, in this upcoming class.
Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Of course, thank you.
You taught me a lot. God, I'm a rock is what I am. Jerrica Richardson and Daniel Santos have been with us from the Atlanta-based Hackout Ninja. They're helping to organize a hackathon this week for incoming freshmen at Clark Atlanta University, and it's being described as the largest hackathon at an HBCU. Jerrica, Daniel, thank you for being here.
Our pleasure.
Thank you.